You're listening to my daddy's show.
Welcome, Cardinals fans, to Conversations with C70. Please welcome your host, Daniel Shoptaw. Click and play, familiar tone. Shoptaw speaks here on my headphones. Yeah, he plays it calm, but that man is funky. Yeah, but what can I say? I'm a C70 junkie. Yeah, he'll take you on the team with the blogging scene. Talk the moves of the Cardinals and what they mean. He always has a real cool guest. He'll talk the Redbirds for all the rest. He's got his awesome kids to lead it off. And now he's got this sweet theme song. A blogging, tweeting baseball man. Just sit back and listen, you'll become a fan. I'm a C70 junkie, a C70. I'm a C70 junkie, a C70. I'm a C70 junkie, a C70, oh. And now your host, Daniel Shoptaw.
You are listening to my day show, Go Cardinals.
Hello and welcome into episode 75 of Conversations. Was he 70? I like that kid. It's understandable if you've completely forgotten that this podcast actually exists. Sometimes I do as well. Everything except the really cool theme music, which we'll get to later. You know, we do this about twice a year now. Once we talk with Jamie Pogue at the beginning of the year, which is what we're doing today. We're talking for Jamie for the eighth time. He started with the Cardinal staff in 2012, and so we've talked to him before every season, and it's very good to catch up with him again. And then we usually do a roundtable in the middle of the season, and occasionally we do another interview like we used to do. I mean, back in the old days, let me tell you, we used to do this quite a bit, but now with the other podcasts, we don't get to it as much, unfortunately, because this is always a lot of fun, and I wish I had the time to do a little bit more of this, but again, we'll get into that later on. Again, Jamie Pogue is our guest today. Jamie is the bullpen catcher for the Cardinals and also has other staff responsibilities. If you haven't heard Jamie before, you can probably find a couple of them on this feed. This feed is also one that only, well, you know, you get what you pay for, and this is a free feed, so I can only put about four or five episodes up at a time. If for some reason you're interested in listening to old podcasts, hit me up on Twitter at C70. Email me, cardinal70@gmail.com. I have them all saved where I can share them with you. I can even share a list with you and let you know some of the guests that we've had in the past. Been fortunate. You notice, though, the Tyler Lyons one is still on the feed. I mean, that one's going to stay up here as long as possible. Even as Tyler moves on to the Pirates, who, and as I found out this week, still wearing 70 over there. So, good at you, Tyler. Hopefully you make the team over there. I'd like to see that happen. And you'll notice that I ask Mr. Pogue about who is the next person wearing number 70 boot. You've heard me ramble enough. Let's get into this conversation with Jamie, and then on the flip side, we'll talk a little bit about camp and then what else might be going on. So stay around.
And we're here again, as we always do, to start the season with Cardinals bullpen catcher Jamie Pogue. Jamie, joining us from the warm climes of Florida. How are you enjoying the weather down there?
The weather's been fantastic. We had a little rain day one of pitchers and catchers, but since then it's been mid-70s and sunny, so no complaints there.
Yeah, especially coming from the climes of St. Louis that you've had to deal with.
It was, I mean, Arctic-like climates there for a few days, about a week before I left, and then a couple days right before I left, it was really cold too. So we did get up to mid-60s in between, which made it kind of odd. But yeah, it's been cold at home, and like I said, the weather here has been fantastic. So
well, good, and it's always good to get back on the field. Before we talk about this year's team, let's talk a little bit about last year. Last year is a tough year, both on the field, but especially in the change. I know, you know, you were good and close friends with Mike Matheny. That had to be a difficult time when the Cardinals went a different direction.
It was on a personal level for sure. You know, like you said, him and I have a really good relationship, and same thing with John Mabry and Bill Miller. I was close with all three of them, and developed tremendous relationships and friendships, and people I still stay in touch with and talk to often. So yeah, it made it tough to swallow from a personal standpoint, but at the same time, you know you recognize it's a business, and you keep moving forward and try and do the best you can.
And you, of course, you know, you knew Mike Shildt from sometimes in the he's been up there as well, but how is that different for you now with a different manager?
Well, fortunately, over the years, I've developed a really good relationship with Shilty as well, and friendship. So that made the transition fairly smooth. You know, from working for somebody that I was really close with and respected and admired, to working for someone that I was really close with and respected and admired. So, from that point standpoint, it was fairly seamless. So yeah, I think you keep moving forward, and Shilty's done, you know, obviously did some great things when he took over last year, and spring training has started out the same way. So I'm excited to see what he can do for us this year.
Well, in the process of our relationship, you've gone from, you know, the complete new guy on the block to the oldest veteran of the staff now, it seems like. I think you're the only one left over from, you know, when Mike joined up. How does this look this year for you, being kind of the grizzled veteran?
Right, very different. You know, I was reflecting on that some in the offseason, thinking about the staff we have, and, you know, as far as their time in the big leagues with the Cardinals as staff members, I think a few of them have 2 years now, and I just finished my seventh. So in that regard, there's obviously a little bit of separation in tenure, but at the same time, these are guys that are baseball lifers, right? Like Pop Warner's been in the game for, when I signed here in 2000 as a minor league player, he was a coach in the minor leagues, and he's been here ever since. So, you know, years and years of experience. So from that standpoint, I'm still just trying to learn every day and pick the brains of these great baseball people.
Well, I know you had extra responsibilities under Mike Matheny, more than a normal bullpen catcher would have. Have any of those changed under Mike Shildt, or is it still about the same kind of day-to-day that you're seeing?
Everything last season after Mike took over for Mike, my role stayed exactly the same. So far in spring training, it's been exactly the same. We did hire a game planning coach, Joey Perbinski, who may help alleviate some of the work I do in season with lineups and so forth, but he's got a bunch of other stuff on his plate now, so and may continue to have with trying to gather the information from the analytics department and figure out the best and smartest way to deliver that information to our players, to where they can best use it. So I have a feeling that even during the season, my role will pretty much be the same as it's been the last 5 or 6 years.
Yeah, I remember hearing about them hiring that new position, and that's going to be pretty interesting to see how that develops. Have you been able to see anything yet? I know the players, you know, they're just reporting now, so they haven't really gotten into that transition yet, but are you getting a feel for what that might be like?
Yes, yeah, somewhat. We actually had our first, we had a little sit down with the pitchers yesterday. Joey did, and kind of went over what the information was going to look like that they were going to get on a series to series basis. Things are going to be very personalized. So working toward, setting up again, game plan, I guess, for a lack of a better term for each guy, going into the series for, again, very individualized and specific for each player.
Well, and it sounds like that should be pretty interesting and hopefully pay a lot of dividends going forward. Again, back at last year, one of the guys that kind of came on the scene, a guy that most of us didn't have any expectation was, Jordan Hicks came up, you know, at the end of spring training and made the team and then just continued to wow all year long. What's it like getting there and catching 104, 105?
You know, it's funny that you asked that, because that was a common theme throughout the year last year. People that I talked to that, you know, not on a daily basis, but just friends I have all over, whether they're ex-teammates or just friends I grew up with or whatever, anytime I would connect with them, that would always be one of the headlining questions. Mm-hmm. And like I told them, you know, they still give me a glove to catch them. So, and, you know, they're sitting there like, he's like, you know, obviously he was up to 105, and he's typically, you know, 101 to 103 every day, and they're like, oh my God, how do you do that? And I'm like, well, we've had other guys that are, you know, averaging 99 to 100. So yeah. It's just, you know, I know, I realize it's a couple miles an hour or more, but it just, and the reason I brought that up is because they never really, you know, were like, man, how do you catch Trevor Rosenthal? It was, you know, that, and the velocity is, you know, again, a little bit of a separation there, but I think once you start talking about if anything over 95 or 100 miles an hour, it's getting there and in the blink of an eye. So I don't know that there's that much difference. Obviously, a little bit, but what a season he had. Mm-hmm. For a kid coming up from A ball with just a limited professional baseball experience. You know, more because just his age and the lack of innings he had accumulated in the minor leagues, and then again just lack of life experience, and not to fault him, he's just a really young guy. So he handled himself really well, did a tremendous job getting ready when he was called upon, and obviously just had a fantastic year.
I guess it's probably a testament to major league hitters that, you know, even though he was throwing that hard, he didn't strike out as many as you might have expected. He got his share. But is that something that was kind of he's tinkered with and doing something to maybe get a few more strikeouts this year?
That I don't know. You know, even towards the end of the year last year, I think he was starting to that rate was starting to increase. I know it was really skewed early on because I think he had pitched something like 12 innings and only had 6 strikeouts. So something, I don't know, I don't have the numbers in front of me. But the one thing with him, he gets a lot of early weak contact. So if he can get 3 outs on 7 pitches and they're all weak ground balls, I think we'd much prefer that than you know, guys fouling balls off and him ending up striking out the side but having to throw 23 pitches. I think the big thing for him is just making sure he controls the strike zone, gets ahead of guys, and I think a byproduct of that will just be more strikeouts. But one of the things I think, you know, hitters go up and they know that the guy's going to be, you know, somewhere between 100 and 105 miles an hour. I think those guys are instead of waiting till 2 strikes like they might do in a regular at bat to kind of shorten up and start trying to put the ball in play, they're doing that from the get-go, which I think is one of the reasons he sees a little lower strikeout percentage than maybe you'd think for someone to throw so hard.
Yeah, that makes sense. And that would, and I'm sure, and again, with him, as you were saying, just experience and things are going to make a difference too as he continues to grow into what he's got. And I guess, you know, he's going to have Andrew Miller out there, the only real addition to the bullpen this year. But what have you seen from Andrew Miller so far, and what do you like?
He's got some great leadership qualities. Obviously, he's pitched in the on the biggest stage and had just a tremendous amount of success on that stage. So I think will add a lot to the bullpen, because I know he's open to some of the analytic stuff. So that'll help when you have a guy with that kind of experience, and you know, just having a veteran guy that's been around that is open to it helps. You know, helps the delivery be accepted by some of the other guys. And then I'm sure the mental standpoint, he'll help quite a bit. And he's invested, man. He wants to win, and he's going to do everything he can to help. And he realizes that him, you know, rubbing shoulders with other people in the bullpen and sharing his experience is going to help us. So, he's open to do that. And I'm excited to see, what our bullpen is going to be capable of doing this year. Like you said, it was only one addition, but we're so deep in arms at the big league level and in the minor leagues as well that I think it should be an exciting year.
And I guess another one of the byproducts of having him is he's a guy that has pitched the 6th, the 7th, the 8th, just wherever he needs to be, and that kind of sets the example for the rest of them. It sounds like that's kind of the mindset for this season, is you never know when you're going to be called on.
Right, and again, I think that speaks to him just wanting to win, and it's not about him, it's about the team, and so basically anytime the phone rings, he'll be ready, and I think, again, it sets the tone for some of the other guys, right, when you have a guy with that much experience and has had as much success as he's had, that'll go a long way for the other guys realizing that it's not about, you know, when you pitch, it's just about being ready when the phone rings and going and doing your job.
On the starting side, I guess the pitcher that was the most surprising was Miles Michaelis. Were you surprised as the year went on that he was able to continue having the success that he did?
Not overly. You know, obviously my perspective is a little different than a lot of other people. When I get to catch his bullpens, you know, every 5 days, and the beginning of his warm up before his starts, and I mean, he's a strike thrower. He's aggressive in the zone and mixes all his pitches. And a lot of times when you talk about those pitchability type guys, they're guys that aren't typically throwing the ball, you know, 94 to 96 miles an hour like he does. So it's not that he's just a finesse type guy. He's got that type of command and stuff, but he's got it with some velocity behind it. So he did a tremendous job for us last year, and big strong guy that we're expecting similar results this year.
And if I remember right, his first at-bat last year, he hit a home run in Milwaukee. Did he point that out to people along the way? pitchers like to hit.
Yeah, you know what, our whole staff, we actually had a little discussion about that today. Our whole pitching staff just did a tremendous job on the offensive side of the ball. But, yeah, he got that homer in his first start, and then I think he went hitless for a few starts. But then towards the end of the year, you know, he hit another homer in Colorado and finished the second half pretty strong offensively. So something our guys take a lot of pride in and understand that it can really help us win a game. So they take it seriously, whether it's just getting a bunt down or moving a runner, even just having a long at bat, you know, fouling some pitches off and still ending up being out. If you can make that opposing pitcher throw 6 or 7 pitches to you, it's just going to help the guys coming up after you.
So I'm guessing the discussion of the DH in the National League kind of got some people fired up in a negative way over the last few days.
Yeah, our pitchers aren't in a hurry to bring the DH to the National League. At least most of them aren't, and I'm not either. We're many different reasons, but I think, you know, like I said, our pitchers were the most productive of any staff in the National League last year, so I think it gives us an advantage having the pitchers hit, because our guys do such a good job.
And I guess the guy that, I don't know, maybe likes to talk about his hitting more, most that I've ever, that I think of, is Adam Wainwright, and we're going to see another year of Adam this year. How's he looked so far, and kind of what do you think? You know, I know Adam always likes to say he's healthy and ready to go. Does that look right?
Yeah, I've only seen him play catch so far. I haven't seen him on the mound, just because a lot of times they're throwing their bullpens. I've got half of the catchers on another field doing some defensive work. But any reports I've heard so far from our pitching guys talking have all been positive. Said he looks good. Everything's free and easy. Ball's coming out good. So if that's the case, it could be a really exciting year for us.
Yeah, and you know, the Cardinals went through so many arms last year because of injuries and other things. You really kind of tested that depth, but we proved that there's a lot of depth there. Was there anybody that came up last year that stood out to you, you know, whether starter or reliever?
I mean, they all did a heck of a job, didn't they? I mean, every single one of them, from, you know, Ponce's first start in Cincinnati was a really fun one to watch. Gomber obviously did a tremendous job for us. Dakota Hudson came up and just, you know, helped to fortify the back end of our pen last year. So I think it was just a multitude of guys, everybody coming up and not being scared, trusting their stuff, and just everybody contributed in a positive way.
Well, and I know, again, just less than a week that you've seen so far, but is there anybody maybe off the radar that has caught your attention over the last few days?
Off the radar. I mean, everybody's, you know, people are talking about Andrew Kisner, and people are talking about Genesis Cabrera, and I think rightfully so. I know Seth Elledge, who we got from Seattle in the Tui Valala trade, has made a really good first impression. Big, strong kid with some horsepower and some intensity to what he's doing. So could be another guy to watch.
And just overall, everything looks good, because, you know, the first few years we did this show, we were always talking, you know, about the postseason. We haven't had to do that very recently. Is that going to change this year?
It better. I was going to say, we haven't had to, or we haven't got to.
Yeah, haven't got to is better.
I'd rather be talking about it. But, yeah, I mean, obviously we did some really good things in the off season that should hopefully help us get over that hump if everyone stays healthy and guys just keep getting after it. We're really excited about the club we have and feel really strongly about it.
And one last question about last year. Did you ever get a chance? I assume you did. Had plenty of the salsa last year?
Yeah, lots and lots.
Was it as good as everybody's saying? Or, I mean,
I enjoyed it. So I actually Carp went and got a bunch of the stuff from Whole Foods when we were in Cincinnati one day and made it there in the clubhouse. And I thought that the salsa I had then was better than the kind of mass produced stuff that they were selling at the grocery store. But even that was still good. But the stuff that he made and had fresh from him was really, really good.
Is that going to make an appearance again this year, do you think?
That's something I'll have to ask him. I'm not sure.
Okay. Well, hopefully so. And then before I let you go, I've got to ask you the most important question that's out there, and that is, who's wearing 70 this year?
70 is Chris Beck. He's one of the minor league free agents that we signed, a pitcher. So don't have a ton of information for you. I know he's a right-hander that throws strikes, and I think he's kind of had a little bit of big league time, but maybe he just needed the 70 in Cardinal uniform to bring out the best in him.
Yeah, he'll probably be the first call-up now, I imagine, now that he's got that on his back. So.
Yeah.
Jamie, I appreciate you joining me and taking a little bit of time. I know it's a busy time once you get down to Florida, but it's always good to talk to you, and hopefully we can do it again.
I appreciate it. We will, for sure. Thanks, Daniel.
All right. Take care.
Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Bye. And as always, my thanks to Jamie for joining us again and letting us know a little bit about what's going on in camp and, you know, just a little bit about what we might see this coming season. It's always good to get a chance to talk to him. I know that he's somewhat limited in what he might be able to say to, you know, this huge audience of three people, but still, you know, it's good to have some insights from the actual coaching staff. And again, as we talked about in the interview, a guy that has been there longer, at least on the major league staff, than anybody that's there now. So it's kind of interesting to see him to hang around and continue with the responsibilities that he has. As we finish putting this together, like I said, he and I talked barely right at 2 weeks ago, and I'm recording this now. March 3rd, as this will go out, Cardinals played again today, lost to the Mets 10-8. But it's, you know, again, we've had a basically, week, 9 days of spring training games so far. And it's still way too early to draw a whole lot of conclusions. You know, you have seen people, you're seeing starters basically every other game. Position players. You're seeing, you know, the starters are still, you know, Jack Flaherty and Miles Michaelis are still pitching in the same game. So, you know, that, you know, they haven't been able to stretch out very much. And as far as I know, and there may be some that come or have come this afternoon or will come after today or tomorrow, there have not been any cuts yet to the camp. Those will be coming soon for sure. So you really can't pick up a lot about what's going on. You know, would you like to see, you know, Marcelo Ozuna already, you know, hitting well and throwing well? Yeah, you'd like to, but it looks like the Cardinals are not going to put him out there in the field for a couple of, well, probably to the last week or two, and hopefully he's ready to go. And that's the, you know, that's kind of where we are at the hopefully stage. It feels like that there's a good chance that he will be. You know, I don't think anybody has seen any indication that his hitting is being hampered yet, but you know, we haven't seen a lot of him either, so it's difficult to say. You know, trying to, well, he's, yeah, maybe he has been, he's 0-10 here in the spring, and that's you know, not really where you want to see that. You know, and that 10 at bats is not, you know, again, it's 10 at bats, but it's, and it's kind of farther down the list, but you're, you know, it's not where you want it to be right now. But again, that's, you can't say, you can't write off the season. You can't just say it's a waste, and you can't necessarily throw a whole lot of shade necessarily on what happened this offseason, because we just really, really don't know how it's all going to come out. You know, there are people that you'd like to see do a little bit better in the spring, but you know, you look at you know, obviously a lot of eyes are going to be on Dexter Fowler, and, you know, 2-for-13 to start off the spring, 4 strikeouts and no walks. That's, again, not what you want to see, but it's also not let's hit the panic button yet. A lot of these young guys are still getting a lot of the significant at-bats. You know, you look at the top number of at-bats, and you have to go down to, well, depending on what happens with your Robinson, you have to go down all the way to, you know, Tyler O'Neill in seventh spot. Before you get to any kind of starter. So it's, you know, a lot of young guys playing, a lot of guys, you know, Dylan Carlson, who is the official prospect of the blog, has gotten 15 at bats, and that's more than, you know, Dexter Fowler, Matt Carpenter, Ozuna, anybody like that. So, you know, Paul Goldschmidt is, you know, 3-for-9. It's with 3 walks, but, you know, it's just, there's just not much there. And it's Jupiter. There's the winds blows crazy. Things are just a little bit off. And I'm, you know, I'm kind of in the opinion, you don't start taking things seriously until like 10 days maybe before the season starts. You know, you're kind of getting down into, you're going to see the starters more often. You're going to see starters on both sides. I mean, the pitchers are going to be facing quality hitters, the major league quality hitters, more than they're going to be facing, you know, guys that are going to be playing in Double A this year. So until then, you can't do a whole lot of conclusion drawing. I think Drew Robinson is, he started off strong enough to maybe make an impact and get into that roster discussion. That being said, I think he had 4 hits in the first 2 days, which means he's had 1 since. I take that for what it's worth. That roster crunch is so huge right now. With, you know, even no matter how they, if they take 13 hitters, there's still somebody going to be going down. And then if they only take 12 pitchers, that's, you know, even crazier to try to figure out. It sounds like Brett Cecil might be one that gets a little bit of extra playing time. He's had a week, I think he's got a week off here. They're hoping to work on his mechanics a little bit. He's still probably adjusting to his new body, if you will. You know, he lost 40-something pounds this offseason. I think it's just got to be a little bit adjusted to getting used to that. And so, as he continues to do that, but, you know, if they paused him, you know, maybe he's still got time to make the team, but it's also not, you know, kind of a path of least resistance thing. It gives him a chance to start the season on the DL and get somebody else, you know, some time and figure that out. So we'll see. We'll see how everything is going to go for this team. You know, where they might wind up this year is still kind of debatable, but it feels like this team is very strong and is a team that can get back to October at least. We'll see, you know, injuries, slumps, whatever, but this is a team that's putting together quite a bit of talent. Now, obviously, they didn't have the offseason that a lot of people would have liked, and we've seen now finally, well, I guess pretty much finally, unless Dallas Keuchel or Craig Kimball has signed over the last day or so that I haven't seen. You know, those guys are people that have been linked or rumored or suggested or thought about for the Cardinals, but, you know, they're not likely to go in that direction either. But, you know, now that Bryce Harper and Manny Machado are settled into their new spots, you know, you look at this team and say, hey, it could have been maybe a notch better, but that's not where the Cardinals want to go, and they're still going to be very competitive. I think the National League has a chance to be as competitive as we've seen in quite some time. I mean, you got a couple of teams that are going to be off, but everybody in the NL Central should be strong, and we will see how that goes. So, you know, you can listen to me, Randall, here, but it's never, as you could tell, I've gotten well out of the habit of talking to myself. With Alan Medlock and I, we do Meet Me at Mutual every week. And then we usually do that on Friday or Saturday. This week is going to be coming up on Monday. But if you'll find, just subscribe to it on iTunes, you'll find it also. Then there's Gateway to Baseball Heaven that Tara Wellman and I do every Sunday night. We'll do that this evening. And those people have a lot more to say than I do. And it's very good to be able to bounce things off. So I've gotten, you know, I started this podcast back in 2011, and I'm not saying I'm going to stop it. I think there are times where, you know, we can use this umbrella, as it were. But on the regular basis, obviously, you know, with 2 podcasts a week, it's always a good idea to keep my family from shooting me and trying to find another time. You know, maybe when I get retired and have plenty of time and they don't want to deal with me anymore, maybe we can do more like 3 podcasts a week. But right now, I think 2 is the limit. So every once in a while, I might drop something over here, you know, subscribe to it on iTunes, and maybe you'll find it. Something might just show up out of the blue, but most likely, you know, it's maybe a mid-season roundtable, and then it's our conversations here with Jamie that have been the most of what we've seen over the last 2 years as we've started getting really active at Meet Me Mutual, and that's probably going to be the case going forward. So, unfortunate, because I really like using my theme music, which you heard at the beginning of the show, and if you are interested in that theme music, check out SNG robb.com. I believe that's some, it's some guy named Rob who's our local balladeer, as it were, here in town, and he worked up that theme song a few years ago. It's very good, and I wish I had a chance to use it more. It just wouldn't quite fit on either one of the other shows. But anyway, until whenever we get together again, check out the blog, check out the other podcasts, and I hope you've enjoyed listening to Jamie. But until next time, we'll talk at you later.
A blogging, tweeting baseball man, just sit back and listen, you'll become a fan.